Chapter 20. The Genie's Ravine. When Firedrake landed, Ben woke up and looked around him in alarm. The sky was bright, and the mountains were shrouded in morning mist as white as milk. The road stopped dead just beyond a sharp bend, and a cliff fell away as steeply as if the world had snapped in two. There was no bridge over to the other side of the gorge. This must be it, thought Ben. The Blue Genie's Ravine. Firedrake stood on the edge of the precipice and looked down. A rushing sound rose from the depths below. Ben turned. Sora was still snoring peacefully. Carefully, Ben picked up the sleeping twig leg and climbed down from Firedrake's back.
"Slept off your elven hangover?" inquired the dragon when Ben was standing beside him. He nuzzled the boy with gentle mockery. "Look at that. I do believe we've reached the genie's home."
Cautiously, Ben looked over the edge of the ravine. It was not very wide, hardly twice the breadth of the road they had been following. The sheer drop of the cliffs was bare rock at the top, but only a few feet down the dense vegetation grew. Flowers scrambled over the stone, and huge palm trees reached toward the light from the bottom of the ravine. It was dark down there, and the rushing sound came to Ben's ears clearly now. It must be the river the professor had mentioned. But Ben heard other noises, too. Animal cries drifted up, and the hoarse calls of strange birds.
"Hey, why didn't you wake me up?"
asked Sora grumpily from Firedrake's back.
Twigleg, still asleep in the crook of Ben's arm, gave a sudden start and looked around, feeling dazed.
"You can stay up here if you'd like, Sorrel," said Firedrake. "We're flying down, though landing in all that undergrowth won't be easy."
The dragon swooped down through the air like a shadow. Palm fronds brushed Ben's face as Firedrake broke through the green canopy of the trees. Beating his wings powerfully a couple of times, the dragon made a soft landing on the bank of a river that flowed sluggishly along the bottom of the ravine. Stray rays of sun fell on the water, and Ben looked up. The sky seemed infinitely far away. They were surrounded by hissing, chirping, grunting, and creaking sounds as hundreds of living creatures moved through thousands of leaves. The air was hot and humid, and swarms of midges hovered above the river.
"Merciful mortals!" Sorrel climbed off Firedrake's back and sank up to her chest in creepers. "How are we ever supposed to find anything in this jungle?"
She looked around uneasily.
"By starting to look for it," said Firedrake, making his way through the thick undergrowth.
"Hang on, wait a minute," Sorrel clutched his tail. "It's all very well for you. You're not up to your chin in all these leaves."
"Although," she said, taking an experimental bite out of one, "they taste delicious. Absolutely yummy."
"Want to get on my back again?" asked Firedrake, turning around.
"No, no," said Sorrel dismissively. "It's all right. I'll manage on my own. Yum. Honestly, I will."
She was pulling leaf after leaf of the plants and stuffing them into her backpack.
"These leaves are very, very tasty."
Ben put Twigleg on his shoulder and grinned.
"Come along, Sorrel," said Firedrake, impatiently swishing his tail back and forth. "You can stock up on provisions once we've found the genie." He turned and went on. Ben followed, and the two of them had soon disappeared among the trees.
"I call that really mean of him," said Sorrel crossly, charging along behind him. "As if that genie couldn't wait another 5 minutes. It's not as if I lived on nothing but moonlight. Does he want me to go faint with hunger so that I fall off his back?"
Firedrake was making his way along the river. The farther they went, the narrower the ravine became. At last, a huge, fallen palm tree barred the dragon's way. An untidy tangle of roots stuck up in the air, but its tall trunk rested on a couple of large boulders in the riverbed, so that it was lying like a bridge across the water.
"Wait a moment." Ben put Twigleg down on Firedrake's tail, climbed up on the trunk of the fallen tree, and clambered a little way along it.
"Look," he called, pointing to the opposite bank. "There, among the red flowers." Firedrake took a step into the water and stretched his neck.
Yes, there it was.
a large gray car overgrown with creepers and covered with fallen flower petals. Lizards basked on its hood in the sun. Ben made his precarious way along the tree trunk and jumped down on the opposite bank. The dragon waded through the shallow water with Sorrel and Twigleg, and then waded on the bank with them. Ben pushed the creepers aside and peered cautiously into the car. A large lizard sitting on the front seat hissed at him when he looked through the side window. Ben jumped back in alarm. The lizard rapidly disappeared between the seats. "No glass in the windows," said Ben quietly, "just as the professor told us." Cautiously, he put his head in through the car window again. There was no trace of the lizard now, although two snakes were coiled up on the back seat. Ben tightened his lips, put his hand through the window, and pressed the horn. Then he rapidly moved back. Flocks of birds flew up, squawking. The lizards shot off the hot metal of the car and disappeared into the twining undergrowth. All was silent again. Warily, Ben stepped back. The professor had told them to wait 17 paces away from the car. Ben counted his footsteps. 1, 2, 3, 4. 17 paces were a lot. On purpose, he did not make his steps too large. After the 17th, he sat down on a rock and waited while Firedrake lay down behind him among the flowers and leaves. Sorrel and Twigleg sat on the dragon's paws. They all stared at the car as if spellbound. Azif didn't keep them waiting long. Blue-tinged smoke billowed out of the car and streamed higher and higher. Ben had to crane his neck to look up at the vast spiral. The drifting wisps merged together among the treetops, whirling around one another faster and faster until the gigantic pillar of smoke formed into a body as blue as the night sky and so large that its shadow darkened the entire ravine. Azif's thousand eyes, small and bright as jewels, sparkled all over his skin, his shoulders, his arms, and his fat belly. Ben retreated until he felt Firedrake's scales behind him. Sorrel and Twigleg huddled on the dragon's back. Only Firedrake did not move, but raised his head and gazed up at the genie.